Hey everyone, welcome to Game Face episode 463 on Sifted Games at Sifted.net. And this is obviously a very special stream if you're watching this live, because this is our last stream of 2025 and it is a double decker. We're going to handle Game Face 463 in this stream, which is our last episode of Game Face for the year. We're going to basically just talk about the Game Awards and our Sifted Fantasy Leagues. And then we're going to break down for a couple minutes, and then we're going to do our Game of the Year awards for 2025. And of course, alongside me to do all of that is the one, the only, the incomparable, Matt Kyle. How are you, Matt?
All right. As long as there's no upper decker.
Right. That's true. So do you want to share why we're doing the stream a little later today or no?
Oh, sure.
You don't care?
Yesterday I was eating raisins, and you know how when you eat raisins after you're done, you do that thing with your tongue where you make sure they're all
like no more cleaning raisins, things up.
I thought there was a raisin stuck in my back tooth, but then when I investigated more, I realized that the corner of my molar had chipped off.
Oh.
And I don't know if that happened when I was eating the raisins or if it just that was when I first time I noticed it, because it's not like I'm like licking my teeth all the time. So I was like, oh, that's bad. And the only appointment I could get, the first appointment they had at my dentist was 2 p.m. today. So I went and she was like, it's a very, very tiny chip. And
It feels like a lot when your tongue knows
when something's different. But I think it seemed like she thought I was being a little silly. But like my teeth do not chip. Like I have never had anything chip off my tooth. I've never broken a tooth. I've never had a cavity.
This guy's never had a cavity.
Like my teeth are like the strongest bones in my body. Like
that's
like,
insane.
Like so I was concerned. Like what? Is it just like the warranty's running out on the parts? Like where we're getting hit 50 and everything's just gonna start falling off? Like what's going on? So she polished it and smoothed it over and she's like, yeah, it's fine. Like they x-rayed it like three different ways and they're like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with a tooth, it's just it fell. I'm like, what happened? She's like, no, it just happens. I'm like, what do you mean it just happens?
That's funny.
I want reasons for shit. I thought this was science.
Yeah.
So also, anyway, how digital has all this shit gotten? Where like I went in and I told them what was going on, and like three or four different people saw me, and like they scanned a thing and they did the x-ray thing and they brought me to this other device that you sit your head in and it scans around your head. And I'm like, and then the dentist comes in, she's like, what is that? I'm like, is anyone going to look at the tooth? No one's actually looked in my mouth yet. Like
they
like,
don't have to anymore.
Like, where is it? Well, they didn't see anything because it was so small. They didn't see it. Like I think they were expecting like half the tooth to be gone.
Oh, right, right.
And they're like, and no pain? Like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But like part of the tooth is missing. I don't want more of the tooth to go missing.
Yeah.
So maybe you could fix it.
Yep.
So that's all it was.
Yeah.
I think they did it just to make me feel better.
Maybe.
I really do. Really? They only charged me $150.
Really?
And I'm like, that seems real cheap. I'm like, I think you just did that so I'd go away.
That's funny.
I feel like you're pandering to me at this point. But yeah, that was what happened. Like,
yeah, so anyway, that's why we're doing the show at 5:30, 5:45 instead of 1 o'clock today.
Yeah, we didn't just randomly decide, like, let's do it in the evening this time.
Especially not me, man. I have so much stuff to get done
in the
next 48
hours. Well, you had
to
drive here through the afternoon traffic, which was much worse.
I'm more concerned about getting all this done before I leave on Thursday morning.
Well, I was like, when I was texting you about it, I'm just like, I don't remember when he goes to Pennsylvania. I hope that, like, I'm like,
we have just enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll all work out. But I want to thank you guys for kind of playing along on social media over the last 24 hours. Matt kind of let me know last night. So I gave you guys a heads up and said, hey, the show's going to be bumped tomorrow to a little bit later. And then all day today, I've been getting you guys updates on the timing for the show and stuff like that. So hopefully you guys were able to keep up, because we have an awesome stream for you guys. Like I said, we're going to do the last episode of Game Face. We're going to tackle all the stuff at the Game Awards, the big reveals, the awards, the presentation, all that. Then we're going to go through all the reveals of that. And then we're going to go through our Sifted Fantasy Leagues. We're going to crown some champions today on Game Face, which is awesome. And then we'll break down for a couple minutes, and we'll come right on back with our Game of the Year awards for 2025. So we have an awesome stream for you guys. I really appreciate you guys being flexible and managing to make it onto the stream. One thing I do want to say, though, before we get going, is we are kind of tight on time with these two shows. Generally, it should be around the same amount of time as a normal stream from us. But we're probably not going to toss to chat as much as we normally do. We may for some of the bigger categories to kind of get your takes, but we have to get through so much content today because I don't know if you guys noticed, but the Game Awards was also loaded. So we have a lot of stuff to get through in today's stream. And just forgive me. Look, you guys know I love you. You know I love getting you guys in the show as much as I can. You guys know I'm wishing you all happy holidays and a happy new year and all that stuff. But we just need to get through the show today because we have a lot of content to get through and a lot of awesome stuff to talk about and show you guys because the Game Awards were kind of awesome for once, I thought anyway. All right, well, there you go. We're going to talk about that in just a minute.
I think they showed a lot of games that are going to be awesome.
Yeah.
That's about as far as I'll go with
okay.
it.
All right, well, we're going to talk about that.
Also, because we don't have time to talk about it, if you like the side-scrolling, if you like the old-school arcade shooting, do not miss Terminator,
yeah.
2D, No Fate. Like, it is full of so many references. The old, like, RoboCop arcade game, the old Sega CD Terminator game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joy to play. It probably shouldn't be $30.
Yeah.
Maybe $30 a little much for what it is. I mean, if you just run through it, it's like a 4-hour arcade game with a couple of branching story paths. But if you love Terminator, and you love side-scrolling action shooters, especially if you love the Terminator game on Sega CD, go get it.
We'll probably tackle that. Good. Where Winds Meet. There's a couple games that kind of slip through the cracks here at the
January,
end of the year.
January, there will be time to pick up the pieces, but I just don't want anyone to spend Christmas without Terminator 2D.
Yeah, yeah.
No Fate, because I've been pretty taken with that game the last few days.
Yeah, good call there. Also, a couple things before we get going. I just want to thank everybody who has supported us this year in any way. Whether you've been one of our patrons at patreon.com/sifted or you're one of the hundreds of people who help us out every month with Twitch Prime, whether you're sharing the show, whether you're just showing up for the stream and just correcting us when we say stuff that's wrong, no matter what you've done, thank you. I appreciate it very, very much. Just a quick heads up. Right now, I kind of looked ahead at the calendar. It looks like the next episode of Game Face will probably be on January 6th, I think. But as always, keep an eye on our social media. That's a good place to follow us and know what's going on. But
and on the weather.
That's true, yeah. Because
usually the determining factor is whether you can fly out.
Yes, I have been trapped on the East Coast before trying to get back here. So, yeah. Anyway, let's go to you guys a little bit here before we get going with the show proper. Just want to make sure I pay my proper respects to y'all. Look at you, remissing author, $25. Thank you. Thank you for the super chat.
Not even Canadian dollars.
Yeah. If you have a question for us, we'll answer it. Anytime you guys drop us a super chat, we will answer whatever question you got. Let's hop over to Twitch and see what's going on over here. I heard it was the shaping of the teeth or something. If you were asking what happened, that are showing up a little bit later. Yeah, Matt had a dental issue.
He's saying that the Congrim won, so I don't know what Congrim said because we can't see any of the rest of the chat because of all the hype train.
Yep. Thank you, guys. We're already at level 4 of the hype train. Thank you. We just started. That's
I know
amazing.
People were saying J.M. Rain was dropping stuff.
Thank you, J.M. Rain. Of course he was because he's freaking awesome. Thank you, man. Happy holidays to you. Hope you're having a good holiday season. I hope it gets even better. Silenetto, thank you. $10 to pay for Mass Dentist. That's awesome. and he did ask a question. What do you guys think of the backlash for Highguard? I mean, we would have talked about
that. We're going to get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And in fact, we'll probably get to it pretty quickly in the show. So maybe should we wait or answer it now?
Wait.
Okay, we're going to answer that. We promise you. We'll definitely talk about Highguard. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you don't need to ask that. We'll get to that.
We will definitely talk about it. And Solonetto, thank you very much for the super chat and the donation, man. Appreciate it. Also, I should add, thank you guys. Since last week's episode, the donations have just started flooding in. So thank you so much. I didn't realize last week, Matt, I can't remember who it was. Someone in chat was like, here's $1 for every episode of Game Face. Yeah. And I thought it was like for every episode we did this year.
No, I took that as $462.
It was! They donated $462!
Yeah.
Thank you! Oh my God! When I got home and realized that, I was like, I can't believe I didn't freak out! He said one for every episode. I thought it was this year.
I thought you handled it rather well. I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, which is amazing. Even for this year would have been amazing. Yeah. Thank you. But it's like, that was one of the bigger ones. But they've just been flowing in. Thank you, guys. I can't say it enough. If you're interested in doing that, if you want to buy us a beer for the holidays, or if you just want to donate because it's been a year full of content and you don't want to get mixed up with subscription services, go to donate.sifted, S-I-F-T-D. Net, and you can punch in any amount there. You can use PayPal, any credit card in over 100 countries. We'd appreciate it very much. Everybody who's done it already, thank you. I cannot say enough how much I appreciate this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's made a big, big difference for me around the holidays. You guys are just freaking awesome. Level 3, everything, the whole chat's just going bonkers here. I can't even keep up with it. You guys are just awesome. Hype chest on the way. It's really freaking awesome. Wow. Let's see. Okay, thank you. It went away. I can actually see some stuff now. Don Lionheart dropping bits. Thank you. Dark Force 256. Thank you for subscribing. What else we got in here? RIP, the Reiners. Yeah, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. What happened to them? Gotta love the Keely and Miss Piggy bit.
Yeah. Well, you don't got
You don't have to.
I did like the Miss Piggy Rolf bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wasn't in that.
Mellow Pintor, thank you for gifting a tier one sub to JJ Forcebreaker. That's awesome. Is there a Name That Game today? There is, Don Lionheart. Yep, we still have a Name That Game tune. One last one before we close out the year.
Well, you got probably the best odds because the least people can play.
That's true. Yeah, you have a better chance today. And actually, I should say, we're going to change how that whole thing works going into next year, but we'll talk about that with our first episode of 2026. Daring Swoosh, thank you for Twitch Prime. And thank you for the holiday greeting. Same to you and yours. Axum, thank you for Twitch Prime. Who else we got up in here? Welcome to Sifted After Dark. I was going to call this Game Face After Dark. It's been a while since we've done a Game Face at nighttime.
Yeah.
When we started, they all were at night. When Marcus was on the show, they were always at nighttime. But it's been a while since we've done one. And the lighting is different in the studio and stuff, too, because there's not light coming through the windows. It changes
things. Walk down the hall, it's all like lit up like a rave at the end of the
hall. All right, because the lighting coming
usually
out.
Usually it's all bright. But I'm just like, oh. It's...
Yep.
Mysterious mists.
Cinetike says, Matt, did you use the repair app for your tooth?
Nah, I guess I should have thought of that.
The Surly Mexican, thank you for Twitch Prime. Cinetike, thank you for gifting tier one subs. Happy holidays to you, Cinetike. Hope you're doing good, brother. Fire Native, thank you. What else we got? Is it 3 a.m. in Europe?
Ooh.
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, that's why we do it at 1 o'clock usually, and we're just counting on the fact that most of our European audience just isn't going to make it. But we're hoping maybe more Americans will show up because we're doing the stream when they're not at work for once. So we'll see how it goes. Jam Rain, there he is, dropping all those tier one subs. Thank you, Jam Rain. Just awesome, man. You the man. What else we got here? Congrim1, thank you for Twitch Prime. And Corey Film, thank you. Mitchell Ness, thank you. Mitchell, I haven't seen you on our stream for a while, brother. Hope you're doing good. Happy holidays to you. What else we got going on in here? Anything else? Don Lionheart, thank you for Twitch Prime. 85 months, thank you, brother. That's awesome. What else we got? Jam Rain subscribing with Twitch Prime. And I think that's it. Shenantics. I like that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for Twitch Prime. And that's it for so far. It'll be interesting to see if people flood in here over a little bit of time as the Americans start finishing dinner and they're looking for something to do or watch. Mountain Lifter says it's 10 a.m. in Singapore. I love this time for Game Face. Awesome, that worked out for you. It may actually work out better for like people in Japan and Asia. Yeah, because we do have like
this one's for the Ring of Fire.
Seriously, we do have a healthy crew of people who watch our show or support us from Japan. So it'd be nice if they could make it in for a live stream for once. That's
Japan.
Yeah, that's one section of our audience we've kind of lost since we've been doing it at 1 p.m. Pacific for years now. So it'd be nice if they can make it in. Odin 5, I see you sneaking in there. Twitch Prime brother, thank you. Never too late. DC Skate, woot woot. Happy holidays to you too. Okay, we are about ready to start talking about the Game Awards 2025, and there is a lot to talk about. But before we do that, here is a word from our sponsor, the one and the only, LS Cream. It's LS Cream, the fine cream liqueur crafted by fellow gamer and sifter, Stevens Charles. Inspired by the Haitian drink, Cray Mass, LS Cream delivers an award-winning experience with every single pour. One sip and you'll see why. It's a party favorite. The silky blend of fresh cream and premium neutral grain spirits mixes great with everything. I dare you to put a shot in your coffee. I've been drinking it for years and still, I find new combinations that taste incredible. LS Cream is the kind of drink that keeps surprising you thanks to its notes of vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, and coconut. Take it to any gathering and watch it steal the spotlight. We've never seen anyone resist. Ready to join the fan club? Head to creamls.com/sifted for recipes, retailers, and online orders. That's creamls.com/sifted. All right, people, listen up. So, Stevens Charles from LS Cream, you maybe remember he was here with us just, I don't know, about 5-6 episodes ago? Maybe
it
more.
It was a lot longer. Yeah.
Was it a lot longer than that?
That was like September.
Really?
Yeah.
A few episodes ago, Stevens Charles was here with us from LS Cream, and around that point, he launched the LS Cream 5K Challenge. Well, he contacted me a couple days ago and said, hey, I want to talk to you, and then I talked to him yesterday, and we have an update on the LS Cream 5K Challenge. So, remember how I was, like, imploring you guys to enter, and I was trying to just nudge you guys to do it, and I was like, come on, just...
I love that it sounds like a running... contest.
It does, yeah.
The 5K challenge. Yeah. Like, well, that's not.
No, they're not running.
No, we're just drinking. It's cool.
Well, anyway, Stephen Charles contacted me to tell me that they are actually pushing the 5K challenge into 2016 because they have discovered
2026.
That 2026. What did I say? 2016?
Yeah.
Let's go back in time.
If only. There's some things I need to tell some people.
That would be great. Seriously. For 2026. And the
reason... Buy NVIDIA.
Yes. That's one of them for sure. For sure. I wish I had told myself that in like 2000, man. Yeah. You'd be filthy rich right now. Just for making GPU. Back then, you'd been like, but they just make GPUs.
I always think about being at Macworld in San Francisco. Right. I was at Macworld in like 99 or 98 when they were showing those candy-colored iMacs off for the first time. And I was like, maybe I should get some Apple stock. Yeah. This seems pretty cool. And I didn't do it, but I calculated it once that if I'd put what I had in at the time, it'd be worth like $1.1 billion now. And I was like, oh.
There's a lot of people that got rich off that.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
That's life. So anyway, he has discovered that right now there is some kind of weird distribution snafu going on with LS Cream, and bottles are not being sent out to stores. So they are working on that right now, but basically what he said is he's got a lot of feedback from people saying, I want to enter, I can't find a bottle of LS Cream anywhere. So it's like, it's all sold out at retail stores, and there's right now the distributors are not sending more into stores. So he has decided to postpone the 5K challenge into 2026. So now you have a little bit more time to get your entry together. Everything is still the same, though. We don't have a deadline yet in 2026 for when the entries are going to end, but you might as well get on it now because if you enter now, it's still going to count for when the contest ends. So again, go to creamls.com/sifted, register on the website, go to the main page. There's a bunch of stuff for the contest there. Click on it, fill out the forms, get yourself a bottle of LS Cream, which in some territories might be tough right now. I totally understand that. But poke around, see if you can find one. Make your own drink out of it. Take a cool picture with it. Upload it on Instagram. Tag LS Cream. Tag 3 friends. And then you may have to cross your fingers a little bit longer than I was talking about a little bit earlier. So anyway, distribution problems with LS Cream. They are extending the time for the contest. So over the holidays, if you got some time, you're interested in maybe winning $5,000, maybe get a bottle of LS Cream and enter the contest. Good luck to you. Also, the holidays is a great time for LS Cream. Like, if you take a bottle of LS Cream to a holiday party, because it's not like
now
really...
Now you tell them it's rare.
Seriously, you can.
We're going to drink a collector's item tonight, boys.
Yeah, it's great. Like, screw eggnog, man. LS Cream is way better than eggnog. So I suggest you take bottles around at your holiday parties. You will be the hit of the party, I promise you. All right. Well, with that... it is time for us to start talking about the Game Awards 2025. We're going to break it up into sections. We're going to talk first about the show itself.
Break it down into components.
Break it down. We're going to talk first about the show itself. Then we're going to talk about the awards.
You know what game that's from? Like, you should win, name that game.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Break it down into components, hack.
Yeah, seriously. And then we're going to go through all the big reveals. So we're going to try to spend not too much time on the first two, and because we're going to need to spend a lot of time on the reveals because there were so many. First up, let's talk about the show in general. Matt, what were kind of your overarching opinions of the show?
I think the production value was the best they've ever done.
It was like amazing, I thought.
And I think they finally found the balance between like utilizing the space and the stage and using all the tech tricks they can muster without pushing it to the point that you're like, okay, get on with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the presentation was extremely slick. I think all the weird stuff that's the stunt stuff that happens in the with the fly wires and the stuff in the audience and stuff, I think that was all chosen and choreographed and performed well.
Yeah.
I think that all was, and it was like previous times they've done stuff like that, sometimes it just goes on. And it,
or it's a disaster.
Or it just doesn't look good. But I think it all looked really good, yeah. And it is probably the first time... I don't remember the last time I went to the Game Awards in person, probably 2015, maybe. Mm-hmm. It was probably the first time since then that I'm like, oh, I kind of wish I'd been there to see what that looked like from the audience, because mm-hmm. it looked pretty great.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the production in this, by far, mm-hmm. was the best ever. Everything was so slick.
And, like,
and
like
so
the wardrobe, like Jeff looks really good. He's not
the
wearing...
The female host looked great.
She looked great. For the, I think, the third year in a row, they actually dressed her in something that didn't make her look like a potato.
Yeah.
Maybe they were letting her pick her own clothes or something. But for a long time, that poor girl was... The crimes were committed
they
against
were.
Her.
Like,
yeah. And now everybody looks great.
Yeah. And the quality of everything. So the stage, where it has this, like, optical illusion where mm-hmm. it looks like they're walking out of this tunnel that's, like, 100 yeah. yards long, but it's really just, like, mm-hmm. 5 feet. Like, the way they did the graphics on the screen for that.
Yeah, I think they should keep this.
Yeah.
Like, I know they change it up pretty mm-hmm. much every year. I think they should keep this. I mean, you have a musical theme now.
Yeah.
So keep a visual theme, too. Yeah, yeah. I think this really works.
Yeah. All the graphics looked amazing. The B-roll of the games was,
yeah.
as somebody who works on a lot of B-roll and appreciates really good B-roll, that B-roll was,
no, it was
killer, man.
I think maybe the first time I've ever seen the B-roll in this show and thought, oh, okay, this was all thoughtfully chosen.
I mean, like, that shit was like uncompressed 4K mm-hmm. 60. Like, I want to see
the quality was good, but I'm actually talking about like the clips,
cuts
the clips they
edits.
Were using to yeah. illustrate the like yeah. like the thing that they used to illustrate each award if when they were allowed to
yeah.
show that
yeah.
and they weren't just reading them off like a list. Like, you know, they were showing for best graphics, they showed impressive graphic moments.
Yeah.
For best story, best narrative, they played like story moment. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, it seems stupid and small, but not every, you know, and I know I don't expect any really different from Jeff or the people he would be hiring, but it's like clearly the people are thinking about
yeah.
those elements of the show, and people don't always do that.
It's true. Like, they haven't done it with every year with this show.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
So in terms of production and in terms of presentation and production value, I think this show has hit the stride. I think they have it figured out in that regard.
Yeah.
Like this is exactly how it should look. This is exactly how it should feel in terms of how slick it is without being too much and without. I think you still could use a little more demarcation between what is a trailer and what is a commercial.
Oh, no, that needs to be labeled. So this is something that Pachter came up with when he did his analysis of the Game Awards. He's like, there is no reason that every piece of media that is a commercial is not labeled a commercial.
It should be labeled a commercial.
It should be blatant.
Now, to be fair, you can just look at it, and if it looks like Genshin Impact, it's a commercial.
But there were right? commercials in the main show, too. I think that's what someone was getting at earlier. They were like, are you going to talk about Highgard? Like, mm-hmm. there was stuff that was quote unquote editorial that was absolutely payola mm-hmm. and paid for. And that stuff needs to be labeled.
Highgard is one of the worst one more things I have ever seen in a presentation of anything.
This is crazy though, this wire work that they did
great.
Live in
this
the
is very cool.
I mean, I saw this starting to happen. I was like, this is gonna be a disaster.
No, it's actually worked.
It did
like,
work.
And it like transitioned really well into the video and,
yeah.
and it all and like once you saw the whole thing, like it made sense that this is what they chose to do and it kinda like it enhanced it instead of making it cringe.
Yeah. I thought Evanescence
and
was
if you,
freaking great.
And if you told me that would be what happened beforehand, I would not have believed you.
No, I agree. Yeah.
No, Evanescence was good. I mean, it was very
freaking great.
It was very funny that they kept teasing Evanescence at the beginning, and like a lot of people I knew who were watching it were like, oh boy, Evanescence, super relevant.
They
like,
killed it.
No, she's so good.
I've never really listened to them. And after watching that performance, I was like, I'm going to start listening to their music.
That they do a really good live.
She feels it. Like, you can tell when bands love their music. And you can tell that band loves the music that it makes. That gets mm-hmm. me going every time. So I thought they were great. I thought really just the whole production was really just awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
and
he nailed it.
As
they
always,
nailed it.
The, you know, the music at the end, you know, the musical crescendo at the, for
yep.
the Game of the Year award part is always, you know, the highlight of something. That's the first thing they got completely right,
yeah.
I would say, like 6 years ago. They
yeah,
figured
yeah.
out that, like, Jeff figured out that that is the thing that really sells that part of the that aspect of the show.
Yeah.
And they've leaned hard into it, and they highlight Flute Guy.
Yeah. They catch on with the memes and all the... Yeah. And they make fun of themselves. They don't take themselves too seriously. And
I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen someone roast Keeley as hard as Rolf.
Yeah.
In this. And so I do appreciate that.
Yeah. I also, you know, I appreciate that Keeley spoke about his father to open the show. Mm-hmm. I think that started the show out on a sincere note. On a show that a lot of people criticize him for, I think that's probably a good thing to come out and start it that way. A lot of people say that it's a frivolous and kind of vapid show. To kind of ground it at the beginning, I thought was pretty good. So,
I mean, it is a frivolous and vapid show, but like, it's still something that Jeff works. It's Jeff's life's work.
It is
basically
as someone said,
I saw like I don't know what else you'd put in his obituary other than creator of the Game Awards.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
it.
How he has the announcer bill him when he walks out, the creator of the Game Awards,
and that is his greatest achievement, really.
Probably, yeah. But like, you know, and his dad was instrumental to that
because he
got a lot of his early contacts through his dad's entertainment industry connections. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure his dad was a big supporter of all of that.
Of course,
so
yeah.
It all ties in. It makes sense. Yep. I mean, it didn't feel out of place.
Yeah.
You know, and look, everybody, you know, I'm not the biggest Game Awards fan in the world, but everybody needs frivolous things. Like, that's a very important, you know, there's nothing wrong with devoting yourself to making something like
that's
what you enjoy or want to do.
Yeah.
And so I, as many criticisms as I have of Jeff Keighley, I do support him in that regard.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he wants to do and he does it.
Yeah.
And you have to respect
that. He makes stuff happen.
He does.
Like, I admire people like that. People that you see in your life and you're just like, talk about stuff and then they do it. Because everybody talks about stuff, not everybody does it. So,
I mean, you did
it too.
I
respect him for that. I did it too. Yep. And it's not easy, man. It's a big risk and a big sacrifice. So... But anyway, I do respect what Jeff does.
I do wish he was a little more open to addressing, like, there is an element, and maybe you can't escape this with an award show. Maybe all award shows kind of have this built into their fabric.
Yeah.
But there's an element of the Game Awards that is sort of like, hey, everything is actually really great in this industry.
Yeah.
And we just need to, like, hang on to that. And it's like,
no,
it's not. Thousands of people lost their jobs this year.
Yeah.
Barely anyone's hanging on. Like, all, you know, EA is going to be owned by someone else next year, and we don't fully know how that's going to play. Like, there's all this crazy shit going on.
It did feel a little bit like a fantasy night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just one of those things where it's like, that's kind of my thing about this thing as a whole in the awards side of things. Not, I mean, if you want to run a bunch of trailers, go ahead. I don't care about the Summer Games Fest in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this thing. It's like, you really are going to sit here and try to claim you're celebrating the art of these things. I know you're not necessarily, because that's not what the focus of this, like even to the point that the world of games are not referred to as a medium. They're referred to in that show as an industry.
Yeah.
They are the games industry.
That's true.
Because
I call it that too.
Sure. We all call it, because that's what we're part of for all this year. But if you're really sitting there trying to celebrate this as an artistic medium, fucking act like
verbiage matters.
And it still doesn't quite come through in the same way. I mean, there's a bunch of things that celebrate artistic elements of video games, like obviously the live, like Alan Wake 2 number last year, the musical performances and the live orchestra clear, but you're celebrating the music, not necessarily. I mean, it just feels like there's a cynicism to not engaging with what makes this. If you're going to engage with it as an artistic medium, do that. If you're going to engage with it as an industry, which seems to be how we prefer to do it with generally as game journalists and as an award show here, especially because you're inviting all the luminaries of the industry to show up and be there, you got to be a little more honest about where the industry stands.
I think that comes from the Spike VGAs. I think it all started right
there. I 100% agree with that.
As someone who worked on that show for 7 years, I see it.
Absolutely.
Saw it.
It I think all the presentation, all production value, and all kind of the mission statements of the Game Awards are where they need to be. Mm-hmm. And now they need to start working on extracting the last Spike TV DNA out of this fucking show.
Yeah, the aesthetic still needs a little.
Yeah,
tweak.
Like the honesty of. I mean, I would like to see. I would like to see it be honest towards the game, towards video games and interactive entertainment as a medium, to the same degree that Jeff was honest about his father at the beginning of this show.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, like that would be, I guess, the way I'd phrase it.
now that I just came up with that right now. I wish I could say I thought of that before the show, but now I was like, oh, that's a good connection. Let's do that.
I agree with
that. There you go.
All right. Well, let's move on to the actual awards themselves. So this ended up being the Claire Obscure Expedition 33 show. Like,
this was the return of the king of, the Game Awards.
If you saw the B-roll we showed earlier there, like, you kind of knew from the beginning because they all showed up in, like, the stereotypical French outfit.
Well, to be fair, a bunch of them didn't think that they were going to have to go on stage, it turns out.
Really?
If you watch the interviews later, I'm sure, like, the main guys thought, but, like...
Why bring that many people there if you didn't know?
Well, because they all wanted to be there. Yeah. They didn't know if they'd ever be there again.
That should have been a very strong hint that something good was coming.
I mean, I would think... I mean, I knew they were going
to
sweep,
that's a long
basically.
Way to come. Because you got to come all the way across the U.S. from Paris.
Right. But like, also, if they had the money to do it...
And which
it was,
they do.
It was something to do for the whole team. It's not a huge team.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and... You know, when they don't know if they'll ever get to do that again.
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure they will. I bet their next game will be received just as well.
How do you feel about the fact that they won everything? Because every award, they're going up, and they were, you know, English was their second language for a lot of them. Some of the interviews were awkward. It was a little stilted at times. Sometimes they didn't... Yeah, there were moments where it was a little awkward, I thought.
Somewhat.
But whatever.
Like, they had a sense of humor about themselves. Yeah. I mean...
But how do you feel about it, like... You know, obviously they deserve the awards. I'm not saying, like, you jimmy the awards so you're not giving the same person the awards all the time. No. I'm just saying, because that happened, how did you enjoy the show ultimately?
I mean,
did it impact your enjoyment of it?
That doesn't have any impact. I mean, again, it's ridiculous that Dispatch wasn't nominated for Best Narrative.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that
Sonic
the
Hedgehog... And it was nominated for something else.
It was nominated for Best Debut, and it didn't even win that.
Yeah.
Because Claire Obscure won that.
Right, yeah.
It's fine. Like, it didn't surprise me. It's what, if I was going to put it, I was going to bet on a Game Awards pool, I would have probably won it because I would have bet every single thing Claire Obscure was nominated for was going to win.
So when I was watching the show, I actually never went and looked at their website and figured out, like, what all the, I just watched the show cold, basically.
Yeah. Oh, and to your point, as much as some of them were surprised that they swept as much as they did, they did prepare a full Game of the Year update for the game the next night.
So. I think Jeff at least told a couple of them that maybe not what they're going to win, but you should show up.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a little bit of it. Because this is not...
Hint,
Price Waterhouse does not keep the results of this one secret.
Right.
Like, we know that.
Yeah.
But it's fun. They seem like nice people.
This hasn't happened before, where one game just kind of swept everything at the Game Awards.
Not really. There have definitely been streaks before, but nothing like this. I mean, did it lose anything?
It won 10 of 11 categories it was nominated for. 10 of 11.
What did it lose?
I don't remember. I just know that number.
Or is that because two people were nominated for voice acting?
Maybe.
And that means one of them had to lose.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm actually not sure about that. But, and here's the thing, like I said...
Also, it turns out that to win the Game of the Year, you don't need to make a great game. You just need to cast Jennifer English.
Yeah.
It's like, because she's got three. She's been in three Game of the Year winners.
It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, I didn't really go and look at the website before I watched the awards. I was watching them cold. And as it kept winning, I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, wow, does it really deserve all these? And so then, after the show was over, I went and looked. And sure enough, it absolutely deserved every award that it got. Like... It just worked out with this year that you have this one game that did so many things so well, and there just really weren't, like, that's the other thing I've kind of discovered working on our Game of the Year awards is, like, this was, like, to me, was the year of disappointing games, where you had these games that you had really high hopes for, and almost none of them delivered to where, like, they were still great, but they weren't amazing or excellent.
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't call that. One of my things, I had a hard time picking disappointing games.
Really?
Yeah, because there weren't that many.
Now, to be clear,
I didn't.
Really?
Because, to be clear, for something to disappoint you, you have to have expectations.
Yeah.
So, like, minor spoiler, I was gonna I was very tempted to pick Vampire Bloodlines 2 for most disappointing game, but that game didn't disappoint me because I thought it was going to be terrible.
Right, yeah.
And so it was actually a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely think that this year there were a lot of good games and there weren't a lot of great ones.
Yeah.
Like, it was very hard to find something I liked more than everything else.
Yeah, they all kind of blended together. Yeah.
And I'll be honest, Claire Obscure is in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's I liked it. I don't actually think it's that great.
Really?
I do.
I think it deserves the award.
I got tired of it after a while.
Really?
Like, I thought
I never did.
The Paris,
I thought the story was amazing.
I think the story was a great question that the more you start to answer it, it gets less interesting.
Did you finish the game?
I got pretty close
because
to the
ending
end
is really, really
I've watched good. The ending on YouTube because I know I'm not going to go back and play. Because now it's too long and I'd have to start over. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yep. So you know then.
Yeah. All right. But it's like, it's fine. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Not how I would have done it, yeah. I don't think. But again, I love that sort of specific weird French fantasy, like
there's no other game like
romantic. Yeah. There are, but not with that kind of not with that production value. Not in this era. Like yeah. like there's you know. And
I mean,
hope,
as it turns out,
I mean, I would love
like
for this
$20 million.
I mean, you
is
know,
all it cost.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's incredible.
And you know that, like you know, I love all the weird French space opera.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Where, you know, I think the love of comics and sci-fi and fantasy and manga kind of shot through that French lens creates something unique that no one else can really duplicate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's how you get things like Valerian, which you shouldn't judge by that movie. It's how you get Fifth Element. It's
yeah.
how you get everything Michel Ancel has ever made. So I would love if this game kicks off like a flood of like weird French stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Because like it would be great to see a bunch of like French and you know and it is also sort of there's a vindication to this game I think for a lot of people where like it was something that some of these people wanted to do at Ubisoft and Ubisoft wouldn't allow it.
Right.
And now they did. And imagine if Ubisoft had put that game out.
Oh, I know.
Imagine if Ubisoft,
I know.
Like what a different fucking situation
I know.
Ubisoft would be in. Like,
I
like
know.
The short-sightedness is just so
they would
tangible.
Be selling half their business.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it's a really compelling story. Like
yeah.
like the story of this game and the people who got it made and all that. Like there's it's like the perfect narrative for that. Like
yeah.
it's both perfect in the sense that like the narrative is so like dark and I mean, there's a melancholy to that
oh,
game
yeah.
that very few big budget games, and not to call this
and
a big
budget
game. It
oozes out of that game.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it's like it's like if all the sad little pixel art games suddenly got Final Fantasy's budget.
Yeah.
You know?
We should
and
be
like,
talking about
refreshing.
This. We'll talk about this at our Game of the Year
sure.
awards. Sure,
but like, so I don't, so it doesn't bother me that it's not what I would have picked for a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't surprise me. It didn't like be like I can't believe
yeah,
Expedition
yeah.
33 is walking away. Like what else? Who else is going to walk away?
Yeah.
Like it was clearly the critical darling. And if you're going to put a bunch of you know game journalists together to judge something, the consensus, the thing that's going to be the easiest to come to consensus on is that they all like Expedition 33.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like so it doesn't surprise me at all. And they were all very gracious about it, and I thought, you know, more power to them. I'm excited to see what they do next. There was a moment where I kind of wished like because the lead producer guy I think could go up for one award before the big game of the year like a few
yeah.
game awards ahead. I wish he'd just kind of gone up and be like, thank you. I'll just talk to you in a few minutes.
Yeah,
because we know where we're going here, right?
Everybody does at that point. Yep. And then how did you feel about the frequency? So I created a log of the entire thing,
mm-hmm.
which I know I'm a psychopath, but I did it. Every single thing that they showed in the show, I created a log and then put like capital letters next to debut and award.
Mm.
So it's easy for me to see how often they showed an award versus like a reveal. And I did the math and it's basically one award to every three reveals is basically how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
I did not go back
like
and look at
last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally, I think that seems like a pretty good mix.
I mean, they're clearly not going to give the genre awards the respect
so
they
RPG,
deserve.
So RPG, you were right.
No, that's
they,
exactly what happened.
They didn't give it away on stage.
No, they never do. And they didn't give away action adventure. They didn't give
yeah.
away best first person.
They,
yeah, they don't give away the well. They give away the ones that are closest to the Oscar
yeah.
categories. That's uh-huh. all it is. They don't give away the genre awards on stage.
The ones that can get a celebrity.
And
on
again,
stage
I recognize and... that's it. But it feels to me in a, you know maybe in a year where the clear runaway favorite isn't an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like RPG should still get the recognition because, as you've said before, it is the biggest genre. You know,
yeah.
it's the most important genre in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because it you know even if you aren't an RPG player, the shooter or the sport, the game you're playing was influenced by them.
Oh yeah, now especially.
You know,
for
like
sure.
there
yeah.
is no possible way you can tell me that Ultimate Teams doesn't owe something to RPGs.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's like, why I love fantasy football. Fantasy
yeah.
football is a real-world RPG. That's
oh, yeah.
all it is. Most people don't get it because they're like, it's football, it's jock stuff, so I shouldn't like it. It's like the
no,
best RPG you can ever play.
Yeah.
It really is. But people just reject it because it's tangentially tied to sports.
And then when the winner of the Super Bowl gets to have a dragon on the team the next year, that's what everyone's really here for.
Yeah. So I thought the mix was pretty good. Like, they could maybe... Yeah, I think there's a couple more awards they could probably share on stage.
I mean, it's still silly, but it's like, I don't expect them to... Yeah, that seems to be the format they've chosen. They don't want the show to be 4 hours long.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
This show is still a little
long.
It's
still a little over three. Yeah. I mean, I guess 3.5 if you count the pre-show, which
I don't.
I don't. No.
Yeah. That's just a way for something for people to watch while they wait in the stream and in the chat or whatever. So, yeah, I thought the show generally was pretty freaking good. Like, I thought it's probably the best Game Awards ever.
I mean, in terms of, like the show they put on, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's move on now.
I was wrong about Joseph Ferris.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't show up. And I don't blame him.
I think that maybe was his protest.
Maybe.
I think you were actually right in the end.
I mean,
was a silent protest of not showing up.
Well, because he has to come a long way.
Yeah.
But, like, it was stupid that Split Fiction wasn't in some of those categories. I mean, it wasn't going to win. Like, it was obviously didn't have a shot against Clair Obscur, but, like, it was dumb that wasn't nominated
for
more
stuff. It got snubbed pretty bad in that award show.
It very much did.
I agree.
If you ever wanted proof that Jeff is not pulling the strings on these nominations, I think that's...
There you go.
Because he's clearly really good buddies with Joseph, and he didn't... So there you go.
Budget. Yep, there you go.
I think, for whatever reason, Death Stranding 2 organically got into the Game of the Year nomination list. Sure.
Yep. Okay, well, let's move on and let's talk about why you guys really tuned into the Game Awards. Because let's be honest, like, the awards are great. It's awesome seeing your hero developers go on stage and accept awards. And this game that you loved, it's great to see other people loved it just as
much. One particular team of developers
time. But what you guys really tune in for is because this is really kind of E3 now. I mean, even more so than Summer Game Fest, this is E3 now. Mm-hmm. This is where you see
the biggest reviews.
It's also like,
even before E3 was done... This was the only time in this part of the year where you're going to get anything new, really, any kind of information about anything. So,
Well, so I we're not going to talk
Jeff
about...
Jeff was smart that, especially because award season for most stuff is the spring, Jeff was smart to realize that right before Christmas is a time when no game news happened. Mm-hmm. And it was a good time to be like, hey, if there's an opening anywhere in the year for this, it's here.
Yeah.
And he was right.
He was right, yep. So we're not going to go through the debuts in the order they appeared in the show. And we've chopped out, I mean, I think we're going to talk about 15 debuts. We've chopped out, obviously, tons of them. Mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about them, at least, I think, in order of importance. Although I think the first one people will definitely debate over. But the first one that I chose is the Divinity Reboot from Larian.
I think I would agree with that.
Would you? I thought it might be the next game we're going to talk about. But which you can probably guess what it is.
I'm going to be honest, my mind went blank.
Oh.
What is the other one?
Basically, KOTOR. Yeah. FOTOR.
It's just not immediately important.
Yeah.
This would probably be the biggest thing in the show to me, both because, obviously, Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
But to see them following up Baldur's Gate 3 with their own IP. I mean, obviously, and look, they've been making Divinity games since 2002.
How about them lying about the statue in the desert and saying it wasn't theirs?
They said it wasn't Original Sin.
Oh, really?
Which is true.
I thought they said that it wasn't their game.
They said it wasn't Original Sin.
Oh, okay.
And it isn't. It's just called Divinity.
Yeah. It sucks for them that people figured out what it was right away.
Well, don't fucking file trademark shit like that.
That's pretty
it's
silly.
That's not really their fault, but this trailer is fucking bonkers.
It is. This is maybe... top five trailers ever made.
It's up there.
It is bonkers. When the pigs eat the vomit, I was like, whoa, wait a minute here.
Pigs eating the vomit and guys getting burned alive visibly
on screen.
And then it
just starts to escalate from there.
Like, people fucking lizard men and all the... wow.
They
like,
pulled no punches, man.
Now, to be clear, if you've played Baldur's Gate 3, you're like, yeah, that's Larian.
Okay, that's
100%.
Seriously.
But basically, like, if they can put out this game, if they can put out a Divinity game that matches or exceeds Baldur's Gate 3 in terms of, like, what they did with the narrative in that game and what... like wow. Like, you have a new... 800-pound gorilla in the game industry.
I
think so. But they have to show that they don't need Dungeons and Dragons to do it. And I think they can. I mean, to be clear, I think they can. And the fact that Baldur's Gate 3 was what it was did not surprise me at all, having played Original Sin 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And actually, I've been a fan of them since Divinity 2, Ego Draconis, the janky ass action RPG where you can transform into a dragon. I love that game.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore that game. So I'm glad these guys are still here and doing these crazy. this crazy shit.
Like, interviews came out today great. For the game. They said it's a turn-based RPG. People were wondering if maybe they'd move to an action RPG. They say it's going to be better than Baldur's Gate 3 on all fronts. They said it will be an early access game, just like Baldur's Gate 3.
That's good. That's one of the reasons Baldur's Gate 3 was so good.
And it's in full production.
Nice.
So maybe not that long to wait. I mean, I thought we weren't going to play another game from Larian for like until like 2030. So
no. I mean, I would not be surprised if this didn't hit 1.0 until like 2028.
Yeah.
But like, I bet you'll be able to play it early access by the end of next year or the beginning of 2027.
This trailer definitely left an impact, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they won't even make this trailer downloadable on YouTube because it's so violent. Like, if you go to Sifted, you can't watch this trailer on Sifted. You have to jump and go to YouTube to watch it. They won't
if you want dark fantasy, they got you covered.
Dog. Man, that is some heavy stuff, that trailer right there.
I mean, I really liked it.
Me too.
That was cool.
Oh, yeah. It shook me. It's like, man, game trailers don't do that to me anymore, but that one did.
And I got to say, as someone who's not usually a fan of the kind of, we're going to do something on the stage to lead in, like, I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought that all synergized rather well.
Yeah.
And it, like, I'm the it set the tone properly.
And then
to me, Siri. I see you.
And then Nox Aeternitis on Twitch chat says the CEO has been Twitter fighting all day over AI.
Yeah. That's not great. If you didn't see it, they basically admitted that they're using AI, like machine learning and AI, as like they're basically generating like rough storyboard thumbnails equivalent or a concept. Yeah. And then they're gonna, you know, they have 73 artists and 27 concept artists, and they're all, you know, he's like, there's not going to be any AI in the in the game. Like, it's not, you know, we're all going to be human. But like, it's still, it's just like, well, we've made every video game up till now without AI. Why don't you just make it?
Well, I think maybe they're just trying to free up their artists to be creative instead of doing the grunt.
Right, but if you're freeing them up to be creative, why are you having them follow AI-generated like concept art sketches?
Oh, I didn't realize that was happening.
Well, if you're generating a bunch, this is like ideas of like what they should, composition and what they should be. Like, okay, well, like, why don't you have a human draw a storyboard and just have like,
I didn't realize that's what they're doing.
That's what the guy said on Twitter. I literally read that like an hour and a half ago.
Okay.
He's arguing, and someone in the replies is like, people have been making RPGs and video games without AI for 40 years, why don't you just do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's a very good question, isn't it?
But that's like saying, like, hey, we made cars on an old assembly line in 1911, and why are we using robots to make
the
cars now?
Because the robots were not plagiarizing other cars.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would say what Larian is doing is, like, plagiarizing.
What Larian is doing, but what AI, what Gen AI image generation does is by definition that.
No, so I know. Whatever we've talked about this a billion
times. So
whatever
you're generating there as your baseline for whatever you want to start from, you're taking from something else.
Yeah.
In a way that is not
ethical.
I just
think that people that are like getting freaked out over AI, they're just going to have to get over it. Because no matter how loud you yell, it's not going to change.
Well, I mean, like, not buying Baldur's Gate 3 or whatever is not going to solve that problem. Obviously, there's more and more that has to happen.
I mean, eventually, every studio is going to use it. And then you're just going to have to play games.
Well, then also
all.
Every studio is going to realize that it actually doesn't help their workflow that much.
Maybe.
There's going to be a reckoning coming where people using it for, like, creative and artistic elements and for consumer-facing use cases are going to realize, like, this isn't actually a useful tool. This is a useful tool in terms of programming. It's a useful tool in terms of, like, filling in the gaps in math and calculation stuff. It's not really something that you need. It's not something that is going to work as in terms of, like, filling in for artists or filling in for whatever.
Well, we got to move on. We can't debate AI again. We have a tight show today.
So. And remember, there was AI like baseline, like early art stuff in Clair Obscur, and they patched it out. Mm-hmm. But clearly, they did the same thing with Clair Obscur.
That was a really small team.
They baselined everything, and then they had real artists. Like,
I mean, that game was made for $20 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that kind of a use case for AI?
No, because they could have done it without that.
Yeah.
I don't think... A concept artist costs like $20,000. Like, you're not saving millions of dollars by not having people draw sketches.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
Okay, let's move on. Next up, we hinted at this a minute ago. Star Wars, Fate of the Old Republic, kicked off the show with this.
I will say, I knew this was Star Wars when I saw this shot.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
I was like,
I think
that's a Star Wars.
I think that was intentional.
Thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not according to everyone else I know.
Really?
They didn't realize it was Star Wars until it landed. Basically.
Really? Wow. Oh, I knew right away. But I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, a Star Wars game.
Well, I knew it was going to be Old Republic of some kind.
Oh, I didn't.
Well, first off, that
stick is too old style to be a quote-unquote modern Star Wars. It wasn't Galactic Empire era.
Mm-hmm.
That's Star Wars nerd talking. Yeah. But also because people had said, like, one of the things that one of the reveals was going to end in the Old Republic. And so everybody jumped to the conclusion of it's a nice Old Republic 2 remake.
Oh, I didn't know that,
but,
actually.
And the rumor is that there is an Old Republic 2 remake floating around somewhere. But I was like, that's a new game. And then that's the wreckage of Revan's ship. So we'll see.
Yeah. Not a lot of details about this out there. Casey Hudson, who worked on KOTOR and also worked on the Mass Effect trilogy, he has a brand new studio. What are they called? Like Argonauts or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Has a brand new studio that's creating the game. It's coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series. Matt, have you heard he's publishing this?
No, I mean, LucasArts would publish it. Or
Lucasfilm,
rather.
So it wouldn't
be
EA. It would be Lucasfilm.
Lucasfilm controls all that. Like, EA has not had the Star Wars exclusive license forever.
I figured maybe because it may have had KOTOR, maybe, but no.
No.
Okay.
Lucasfilm owns the rights to all of the Star Wars games.
Okay. So they're the publishers.
I mean, they might license with another. I mean, they could choose
they might
another
work with
company to like do it for them, but they will probably just put it out through Disney somehow.
Yeah. Interesting. But otherwise, we don't have really any other information. That's all we got. Mm-hmm. They did say that they are looking to launch before 2030.
Yeah. Well, after someone said, like, yeah, this is 2030. And like Casey was like, no, it's going to be before 2030. I'm like, okay, I'll see
we'll
you in 2029.
We'll see about that. If we're lucky, 2029.
I mean,
they'll announce 2029 and launch in 2030. Probably is what'll happen.
But you're probably looking at a PS6 game here.
That's or at least one that straddles the two generations for sure. But still, this is exciting.
Oh, great,
man.
KOTOR 3, finally.
Yeah, man. Like that's a great get for Jeff.
Chris Avalon talked about it a little bit.
Did he?
He's the writer. He used to be at Obsidian. He wrote KOTOR 2,
mm-hmm.
and he said, "I'm not involved with this at all, but I know that this is Casey's idea. He had for a. He's like, I know the sequel idea he had, and if this is what he's doing, it's going to be amazing.
Awesome. That's what you like to hear.
So he knows a lot about that stuff. And if Chris Avalon is vouching for this, then I think there's something to look forward to.
Okay. Next up, Control Resonant. Was formerly called Control 2, even called Control 2 by Remedy. They originally put out logos for Control 2. Yeah,
things can change.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the install folder for Clair Obscur is called Expedition 33.
That's true, yeah. This was maybe the best-looking thing that I saw in the show, or at least the one that changed my hype level the most as far as like how excited I was for it before the trailer and then after I saw the trailer.
I guess, I don't know if it did that for me, but I guess it was more like... okay, I can relax now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not worried about this game living up to Control 1 as much. I'm like, oh, what do you do? Like, and it's like, okay, yeah, you make it bigger, you expand it, you move forward, you do something different with
it. You play as a man with a big hammer.
I love that. Do not ingest, resist the urge. It's just like, oh, the fungus makes you want to eat it. That's so fucking gross. Like, it's a bunch of great ideas.
Yeah.
Like, little things. So, yeah, and clearly we're shaping the bureau up a little bit.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
Dylan Faden in this, who is the brother of Jesse, the protagonist from the first game. And the objective is not surprising. You basically are stopping otherworldly forces from consuming the world after they escape containment from the FBC. And the whole game takes place in downtown Manhattan, which obviously many games have done that before. It'll be interesting to see Remedy's take on that. But new protagonist, always risky.
Yeah.
But it's a guy, usually is a smart move in our industry.
Well, depends.
He's a white guy. That's about the best thing you can do for your chances of for video game sales in America right now.
Didn't help Death Stranding.
Yeah, that's true. And this game is about as bizarre as Death Stranding is as well. It kind of gives off that similar kind of vibe. But, he has this crazy, like, transforming hammer that he uses as it appears to be his primary weapon. But this trailer got me really hyped for...
Yeah, I mean, it's a good change-up to have, like, you know, the sequel has a guy... Like the character's using melee. That basically the melee equivalent of her gun.
Yeah.
The first one, so.
Yeah.
I feel like they did push that weapon in the first one about as far as they could go.
I agree.
So it seems like this is a good move.
I also wouldn't be surprised if halfway through the game you rescue your sister and then you can play as either
that
one of them or whatever.
That said, Remedy doing melee, huh?
Uh-huh. That makes me a little nervous.
We'll see.
I hear you on that one. But man, this little montage here at the end is what really got me hyped, because it's just like
cuts through just cool
insane stuff, man. It's just like,
it's
what?
Like, oh, you just made the concept art 3D, huh? Okay, I'm in.
I mean, these last like
some of those things just some of those things look like terrible, like nightmare Bosch paintings and stuff.
Seriously,
You know, I'm a pretty harsh critic of Remedy's gameplay, but yeah. I don't think there's a team with a better imagination in the game world.
I'd agree. Yeah. And that's kind of where you're getting it. It feels like game making now is almost becoming an imagination competition.
Well, I think we've talked about that before, years before, yeah. Like the idea that like eventually tech's going to plateau essentially to the point that the winners are going to be the people who have the best ideas.
Yeah.
Because you can do anything.
And with AI now especially. Because AI handles some of the heavy lifting of the actual work, and now it really is
now
like,
now you're
what
just
I,
fucking with me.
What do you mean?
The AI is not going to help with that.
No, I'm saying the AI can't come up with ideas. So now the power of ideas has escalated to the point where it's all powerful. Mm. Because AI can handle the grunt work now. It's like, how creative are you? That's what's going to separate the creators, not just in games,
well,
but
especially
in
if AI slot becomes a regular output thing for like kind of the C-list.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't really, I mean... How would you tell the difference between AI slop Shenmue 4 and real Shenmue 4? I'm not sure.
Like AI
Shenmue, I mean, Shenmue is very. I mean, Shenmue does kind of look like a mobile game ad, right? Like nowadays,
yeah,
like
it does. Yeah.
But no, yeah, no. There is something to be said there, where it's like, essentially, because like Gen AI is terrible at things that don't have precedent.
Right.
Like, if you are asking it a question that, like...
It can't do it.
And you see it when you Google stuff, and, like, if I Google something... Like, I was Googling something about the Godzilla trading card game the other day, which is not the most popular game in the world. And all the Gemini AI stuff was completely...
Broken.
It was so wrong. It was like, talking about, like, movie releases in 1967, and I'm like... No, dude, I just don't think enough people are talking about this game for you to be able to
for
parse
you to figure it.
It
out. Yeah, that's what happened. You're right. Yep. All right, well, let's move on to our next one.
Maybe that is like the ad pitch for 2028 is like games that you look at and think, well, AI could never do this because it's like nothing I've ever seen before.
That may be what separates the great games going forward.
Possibly.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Next, we're going to talk about the brand new Tomb Raider. Two Tomb Raider games were announced. This is the brand new one. It's called Tomb Raider Catalyst. It's coming in 2027.
She appears to be the Tomb Raider.
Yes.
At long last.
Well, as it turns out, this is not like a continuation of the recent trilogy.
She's clearly it's a totally different time. But they know who she is. She has a reputation. She is the Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Our long national nightmare is finally over.
Yeah. I'll read the boilerplate stuff that they sent me. Let's see. Tomb Raider Catalyst embarks on a new adventure across northern India. It's set in the wake of a mythical cataclysm that has unleashed ancient secrets, awakened the mysterious forces that guard them. When the most notorious treasure hunters from around the world descend on the region, it almost feels like a little bit of like a race, like an Amazing Race thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
Lara races to uncover the truth behind buried beneath the fractured landscape and stop those who would use its power for their own gain. As the ancient world collides with the present, Lara must decide who to trust among rivals and allies to prevent a catastrophe and prevent a secret that could reshape the future. They're saying that it's the continuation of the Underworld timeline or something.
Mm.
That's what they're saying. But so, I think it happens years after or something.
Right. So when Crystal Dynamics first came on the franchise, and they did the remake of the first one, and then they did Underworld.
Yep.
So this is building off that. And then there's another remake of the first one again.
That we're going to talk about in a sec. Yeah.
I will admit, I don't really like her face.
No?
Her new face. I think her face looks a little too smooth. It doesn't look like a real person in comparison to like the rest of the world, and all the other characters look almost very realistic and photoreal. And her face just doesn't have any...
She definitely looks a lot different.
She looks very different from the previous trilogy. I don't know what we're going to call that version.
Yeah, what are we going to call that ultimately?
I don't know. You can't really call it something Crystal Dynamics really because they're still working on all of it.
Yeah. I don't know.
The reboot trilogy, the survival trilogy, something like that.
The Becoming the Tomb Raider trilogy.
Yeah, the Origin trilogy.
Maybe.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
except one,
I think
Tomb Raider Origins is already a thing, so you can't do that.
Yeah.
But I just think her, like, there's no character in that face, really, in comparison to the rest of the environment.
At least they didn't go back to her quadruple D.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
She's definitely...
She seems, like, grounded in reality, at least.
Mostly, I just think her face needs a little more.
I don't know. She doesn't have any wrinkles on her.
Yeah.
She's
smooth.
She's very, like, weirdly smooth for someone who climbs that many rocks.
She's smooth like a Zoom filter.
She's tight like a tiger.
It's like you get on Zoom and leave the people to put the smoothing thing
she
on.
Does, yeah, that, she does look, she has a filter on her and nobody else does. Which I guess, to be fair, if it was a movie, that could be happening.
Every girl I've ever been on Zoom with put that filter on. They're just like, nope, I'm not going to show my normal face. It's just not going to happen. So are you excited for the new Tomb Raider?
Yeah, I'm into it.
It's coming from Amazon Games.
I'll certainly try it.
Yeah. I'm glad that Crystal Dynamics is making it. That gives me comfort.
Yeah. I'm a little more interested in Catalyst than I am in the Legend of Atlantis or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I will also try. I mean, I've always wanted to like Tomb Raider, and I didn't.
I always felt like I should.
Yeah, and I didn't until the reboot, basically.
Uh-huh.
Before that, the original Tomb Raider and kind of everything that followed from it, like, were always just too ticky-tacky, overly precise, fussy platformer nonsense to me.
Well, that's a great segue into the next game, which is Tomb Raider Legacy of Atlantis. This is coming out next year. They are calling it not a remake, not a remaster. They are calling it a reimagining of the first Tomb Raider.
It sounds like it's going to be her telling the story of it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, unreliable narrator. Let's see what happens.
How do you feel about her look for this game?
I mean, it's basically the same look.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it makes a little more sense here because she's
trying to
younger.
Unify it. Yeah.
But, like, again, she doesn't look like a real person to me in that, which is weird for a game that the rest of it looks so real.
Yeah.
I know that, like, you know, the chuds aren't down with, you know, women who look like actual people in video games. That's why you fail or whatever. but, like, I don't know. I like how she looked in the Crystal Dynamics.
Me too.
Like,
I thought the reboot, they kind of nailed her.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
No pun there.
Yeah. I appreciate that the dinosaurs have feathers.
Yeah. Like the real dinosaurs did. Yeah.
Because these aren't Jurassic Park clones. They are surviving dinosaurs in the savage land kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they should look like real dinosaurs.
And I'm glad that they're reimagining this, because if it were just a remake remaster,
no,
I would have no interest in playing it.
No.
Is like impossible to play now.
I don't like any of them, really.
Yeah.
I'm
not a huge fan.
I kind of liked... what was the fourth one where it was just like a series of vignettes of different places and different things that happened during her life?
I don't remember.
I don't remember the name of it, but it was like the fourth one was basically like a collection of like mini adventures. Like each couple, it was like sections of two or three levels each, which were like things that she did back in the day.
Maybe
all different enough that I thought they were pretty good. It wasn't Chronicles. That's what it was.
Tomb Raider Chronicles.
Yeah, Tomb Raider Chronicles.
Thank you,
Senator
Tyke and
Odin. And I liked when Crystal Dynamics took over. I liked Legend well enough. I mean, they're still kind of they're more playable versions of a game that I don't really like the entire philosophy behind.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I thought, you know, Underworld and Legends were fine. They were playable, and of course I remember Angel of Darkness, which is one of the games that gave rise to X-Play.
Yeah.
Because it was so terrible, everybody gathered in the game lab and just
made
fun of it for a whole
afternoon.
And
we're like, wait a minute.
We could just put this on TV.
And people may laugh at it. And they did. It worked out. Yeah, so I would rank the two Tomb Raiders. Which one are you more excited for? Catalyst or Atlantis?
Catalyst.
Me too.
Catalyst. Yeah. I'm more excited for the new thing.
Me too. Yeah. So we'll see how they turn out.
But I would love to like Tomb Raider 1 again. For the first time. All over again or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And again, dinosaurs.
Yeah, so don't forget, Atlantis next year, and then the new Tomb Raider Catalyst in 2027.
It seems real weird that there's not more games with, like, dinosaurs you fight, right?
I know. Like, I love fighting dinosaurs. I got, when you got me the analog 3D, I got totally sucked into Turok again. Mm-hmm. The first one.
Yeah.
I started playing it. I played it for, like, 3 hours. I was like, what am I doing?
Hi, I'm Turok.
Because I like fighting dinosaurs. Yeah. Everybody does. All right, next up, this was also a shocker.
Yeah, I didn't see this one coming at all.
Star Wars Galactic Racer. And it's not pod racing either. It's like a multi-discipline Star Wars racer, basically.
You can't stick to pod racing.
Yeah.
I mean, there are pod racers in this.
Yeah.
But it's just about everything.
This is coming from Fuse Games, and it is comprised of former Burnout and Need for Speed folks.
See, I love that. See, I love that one, because that is basically what the pod racers are deconstructed from.
Uh-huh.
Like, pod racing, like, canonically, is like... basically, like, hot rodders have, like, just taken the baseline parts out of these speeders and made them just
an engine in a seat,
yeah,
essentially,
yeah,
like a drag racer, you know,
yeah,
like,
lower the weight, yeah,
and so like what you're seeing in that early shot there, like that's what the pod racing equipment
started
looks
at.
Like when it's in the vehicle, yeah, they're supposed to be before like the gearheads have like stripped it apart to make it the fastest thing they can make, which is, yeah, a really cool reference.
Why has it been so long since we got a Star Wars racing game?
Well, they did put out Episode One Racer, like a remaster,
yeah,
a while ago. In part, I think it's just because racing games have been so unpopular.
Yeah, I mean,
so
you're right.
Long.
They've just, in generally, that genre has just kind of lost, yeah, lost a lot of
but
its
momentum. I mean, maybe it's a little later than it should be, but I think with the whole, like, you know, the generation that grew up with the prequels and, like, you know, old Sebulba,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
running the whole thing, yeah, now, so that's a cool, that's a cool nod. With the generation that loved the prequels growing up with them and like kind of rehabilitating them, like this is exactly the right time.
What era
this
is this taking place in?
Well, if Sebulba's that old, I'm guessing it's the post-Empire War.
That's what I thought.
I think it's around, yeah, the same time as The Mandalorian.
That's what I figured, yeah. So, again, this is Star Wars Galactic Racer. It's coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series. Matt, the other thing I noticed...
And actually, it has to be a few years after Return of the Jedi because this is Jakku.
Right,
so,
yeah,
that battle that we see the Crash Star Destroyer in.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, this is coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series. And what I was saying a minute ago is that one thing I noticed about this show in general was, like, the Switch 2 is nowhere to be found. Every game that was announced, there was no Switch 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, which I was... I mean, we heard that Nintendo wasn't sending out dev kits in a timely manner for Switch 2. You really saw it in this,
yeah,
show.
Like, I'm guessing there will be Switch 2 versions of a lot of these games.
I would assume.
They just couldn't say it
They
yet.
Weren't ready to announce it yet.
Yeah,
yeah, so... this game, I would imagine, might make it out for Switch 2. We'll see.
It would be surprising if it didn't.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. So, anyway, I don't think we have a release date for that, do we?
Next year.
Is it next year?
Awesome. I mean, who knows if it really is next year, but I saw...
Nope, you're right. I have it right here in my notes. 2026. Yep, there you go. So not long to wait for that one. Next up, a brand new Mega Man game. Not a numbered entry, though.
Yet.
You think they're going to change it?
I think this is so early that anything can change.
Yeah. Right now, they're calling it Mega Man Dual Overdrive. They're saying it's coming.
Terrible, terrible title.
It really is. It's coming in 2027, and it is side-scrolling, which would lead me to believe that it would be a numbered entry in the Mega Man franchise.
Well, I think they... I mean, you'd be up to, like, what, 12 by now?
12, yeah.
So, like, I feel... I understand why you don't want to call something 12.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, I don't play Mega Man 1. It's like... Well, if you don't play 1 through 11, you won't know what's happening.
Yeah, how many young people are going to buy the 12th entry of something?
Unless you like want to do like... I heard that they want to do like Resident Evil kind of quality remakes of all the Mega Man games.
Ah.
In 2D. Like, I mean, like, I would be... I mean, you want to make Mega like a remake of all the Mega Man games that look like Shadow Labyrinth?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
100%
sure.
In.
Yeah. This game looks pretty good.
Yeah,
but...
it's fun. I like Mega Man. I always like Mega Man.
Yeah.
Mega Man 2 would probably be one of my favorite games of all time.
I always play them when they come out.
Yeah.
I mean, seems like they take a long time between entries
I
now.
I think those games are harder to get right than we might think.
Yeah.
You need to figure out ways for people to go through, like, every... You know, you got to let people choose their way through all the Robot Masters.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's a probably a hard thing to balance properly.
It could be. Are you excited for this game?
Yeah. I mean, I'm into it. It feels like it's a long way away.
Yeah. They say 2027, but...
I mean, that could be late 20. That'd be 2 years.
They don't show much gameplay in this.
No.
They literally show, like, 3 seconds of it.
But I think Jeff even said when they came out of this, he's like, they put the gameplay bit together, they had to work hard to show us anything because
yeah.
they really wanted this show.
It sounds like they did him a favor hooking that up in time.
Look,
for the
I think they were doing each other favors. I think Capcom wanted the hype early on to let people know this was coming, and I think
yeah.
they did him a favor to, like, I mean, and you could tell he. One of the reasons he was so excited was he got to play Mega Man on with the orchestra. And I mean, yeah. to be fair, as soon as they started up that song, I knew it was Mega Man.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, anything that's music focused, like Jeff is going to thrive on in that production environment, and so he did.
Yeah. So anyway, again, that isn't coming out till 2027, maybe later. We'll see. Next up, I thought one of the pleasant surprises of the whole show was Ace Combat 8.
Oh, I was glad to see this.
Wings of Thief.
The very funny... I knew what this was the first shot.
Really? You knew
that?
From
knew,
this, it
absolutely.
Was... Really?
There is some look to how Namco makes the Ace... I knew those guys... I said...
Maybe it's the water.
I think even Elisa will... Like, if she will tell you, like... like right as I saw that, I texted her Ace Combat because she loves it. Like that's one of her favorite games. And she's like, "What?" And then Bandai Namco came out. She's like, "Oh my god, you're right." I'm like, "Yeah, that's what it is."
It's- well, this looks like Ace Combat on crack. I mean, it looks like a completely different franchise. Like it looks like you live on the aircraft carrier, and there's all this like stuff that you do.
I don't know. Like, it looks like there's a lot of cutscenes.
Yeah, but you don't think that, that there's like a story that takes place on the aircraft carrier?
Oh, there might, but there's also a story that involves these weird, like,
I count on it being weird.
Oh, yeah. Because it clearly is taking place in whatever that alternate world. Yeah. I can't remember the name. I mean, I love the Ace Combat game.
Yeah. So. I thought this looked really good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always in for Ace Combat.
Yeah, I was impressed by it. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't expect that at all.
I actually, earlier this year, I finally imported a copy of Ace Combat 3 Electrosphere because there's a translation patch for it.
Oh.
For the Japanese version, if you run it through an emulator, because the American version of Ace Combat 3 cut out, like, a whole disc of content.
Oh.
So I want to play the unadulterated Ace Combat 3 for the first time ever.
Well, this one is Ace Combat 8. It is coming in 2026. They didn't share much information about it, but this trailer gives up a lot. Like, if you slow it down and start peeking at some of these stills, like, there's all kinds of weird stuff going on in here I haven't seen in an Ace Combat
game. I think Cinetike is right because he says it has Top Gun vibes. I think this game probably does exist because of Top Gun Maverick.
Maybe.
Maverick made $1 billion. I bet the time gap between that and this, that is exactly the right time for this to have been greenlit.
I mean, I hate to say it, but if Bandai Namco were smart, it would turn Ace Combat into that franchise and just get rid of Ace Combat.
I mean, the last Ace Combat did have Top Gun DLC.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, just change the franchise to Top Gun.
I'm going to guess that that was a little complicated with Paramount and the situation it's in right now.
Yep.
So.
But anyway, I was pleasantly surprised to see Ace Combat 8. Hopefully you guys were too. Next up, a game that I saw and I was like, that'll never run on a console. That was Total War Warhammer 40K. RTS set in the future, Total War. Mm-hmm. Some of the in-engine stuff that they show from this very briefly literally blew my mind.
Total War has always been a looker for what it is.
It looks like it's just going to melt my rig into a puddle. Like, maybe. It's just insane. Like,
I am very happy that this has happened. We all kind of knew this was inevitable, but it's really
eventually,
cool.
Eventually, someday.
Because
right?
I don't really care about Fantasy Warhammer, but I love 40K. Yeah. And this will be the first Total War game I play probably
in a very long time.
Yeah. I can't remember the last. Maybe, God, I don't even remember the last one I really sat down.
I try to pick them up and play them.
They're so crazy.
It's
and
just
there's so
hard.
Much there.
It's too much.
And the thing that's going to give me, that I think will be an advantage on this, is I understand everything.
Yeah, you know what the units are.
I know what the units are. I know what you counter things with. I know what this group wants. I know what that group wants. I know what all the ranks are. Like, I'm going to understand the universe well enough that I'm not that the gameplay systems will not be as opaque as they tend to be. Because
they are for me in this franchise, usually. I start playing it.
The last one I tried to play was the Three Kingdoms one, and I just could not get my goddamn head around it.
Yeah.
I ended up just going back to Crusader Kings 3.
Oh. But
it's a different kind of overcomplicated. But no, I'm super excited for this one.
How about them rolling out David Harbour from Stranger Things?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I didn't know he was a miniatures game guy, but that's cool.
He's huge.
I'm into that.
He earned some nerd cred from me. Yeah. I was like, all right, man. I didn't
and,
realize I see you.
I'm super into that. I'm super into Dawn of War 4 announcement. Like, Warhammer 40K, everybody's eating well. I'm happy about it. I'm not into the miniatures game. I refused. I mean, even if I was, I'd refuse to pay the prices for those fucking models. I mean, oh my
it's
God.
Insane.
Like, people spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on this, and then you got to paint them.
I know.
I can't do that.
It's like, somebody should paint it for me if I'm spending that much money. That's
you can hire people to do that, too.
But I'm saying, they should come pre-done if you're spending that kind of cash. But
and you've got, the Owlcat Games is making another 40K RPG in the vein of Rogue Trader.
Yeah.
Like, 40K is on fire.
It really
right now.
Is. It's
Space Marine
up.
2 did well enough that I imagine Space Marine 3 will probably be announced
there
next year.
Here's some of the
engine
stuff.
Oh, this looks great.
It's crazy. Look at all the units. It's just freaking nuts. Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that. Yeah. I don't think my rig will run this game.
Looking forward. I mean, also, this is good because it indicates that this engine's going to be robust to bring in the Tyranids and the Necrons. And
that's insane.
I hope they keep this. They've supported the Fantasy Warhammer stuff for a long time. Like, there's tons of content for 2 and 3, and I'm hoping that they go all out on this one, because I'm sure they will.
It looks freaking
And look how they pull back, and there's all the different planets, so you're going to be doing that huge game. I mean, I'm super. This is what I kind of always wished Dawn of War would become, but I knew it couldn't become that. But now it's like, oh, if I got Dawn of War 4, I got
all that stuff, and then I can play this when I want the big campaign thing. Like, super excited about that. Yep. Very happy about that.
Next up, we got an updated look at Resident Evil Requiem. Not a debut, but it did debut somebody very important to the Resident Evil franchise, and that is Leon Kennedy, who is a playable character in the game. Not after it was over, we got more clarification on that, and it sounded like the way they described it in the show, that they had two separate campaigns. As it turns out, that is not the case.
No, I figure you're switching back and forth.
Yeah, you can just switch back and forth whenever you want. However, the two of them play really different. Grace is more of like the stealth player. She's scared. She runs away. Leon is the ass kicker, obviously. Mm-hmm. He's got a chainsaw.
Just hide in a dumpster. I'll be right back.
Seriously. They also show off the enemy for the first time. Victor Gideon is his name. He's the new bad guy.
And you never trust somebody with two first names.
Yeah. And of course, he bought a mansion because he had to, so that you have some place to go for the Resident
Evil
game.
Where else is he going
to
reside if he's evil?
Seriously. Yep. They're also saying that Sherry Birkin may also be in the game. There's a short clip in this that shows what appears to be her talking to Leon through a headset or whatever. So
yeah, you can hear her.
So they think she's going to be in it too. But the big revelation here, obviously, is Leon and the fact that you can play with him through the entire
game. Leon is back.
And we knew this all along. Capcom tried to act like he wasn't in the game, and we all knew he was going to be in the game. He has become the face of Resident Evil at this point. Yeah. He really has.
He is definitely the best protagonist of the series.
And he's the one that people want to play as. Every game that he's in sells better than the others.
And I love that they asked, who's the director on this?
I can't remember his name.
But they asked him, how did you come to his new design? He's like, because he's 48 now. He's kind of grizzled. He's approaching Silver Fox territory.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy was like, we have a lot of women on the team, and so we have a lot of feedback about what Leon should look like. And that is why he looks the way he looks. And it's like, well done, ladies. Well done.
Nice job.
I think you nailed him. Or nailed him.
Maybe you wish you nailed him. But that's twice now. Uh-oh. Nick Dutois is here bullying people with the DILF. I'll allow that one.
I don't know. Has Leon had a kid?
I don't know. I don't think so. No.
You think Leon's got a kid?
Probably not. Or that he knows of.
That he knows of? There's your Resident Evil 10 plot.
Yeah. Are you excited for this? I am. Yeah, I'm getting pumped up for this. And it's coming soon. It's only a couple months away.
Leon in it means I'm going to be able to play it.
Yeah, basically. There you go.
Because I was like, okay, if I'm just running around fleeing from things and hiding in boxes, I don't really care. But Leon means we're going to be shooting some stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Resident Evil 4 is by far my favorite game in the series, so...
And chewing some stuff up with a chainsaw, apparently, as well. So,
Well, he learns.
Yeah.
He learns from his experiences.
Also, the first look at real, zombie combat there at the end of that trailer. So, that trailer is pretty impactful. Leon is coming to RE Requiem.
It's only, 2 months.
Yeah, we're playing it in, 2 months. February 26th, I believe. Yeah. Coming up real fast. Okay, now we're getting into the smaller games that were shown. So, we're going to go through these a little bit more quickly because they're not quite as big, but I still want to talk about them, at least, here on the show. First, we're going to talk about Bradley the Badger. This game, some people were saying, was the best thing that was shown in the Game Awards. I do not agree with that.
I do not either. But I do think this is a really good idea.
Yes. It spoofs other games. So right now it's spoofing Banjo-Kazooie with Banjo's
But actually, I took it more as he's basically a Nintendo 64 3D platformer character who ends up in the modern game industry. And, that's very funny.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah. But then as I started watching the trailer, though, and looking at the gameplay, it looks a little janky to me.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
To me, this looks very spiritual successor to Conker.
Maybe.
Where Conker doesn't really do anything tremendously well, despite the variety of things you're doing, but kind of the humor and sort of the appeal of the high concept is sort of what's dragging you through it.
Yeah.
And this is, I like the idea of sort of forcing cutesy, 90s style platformer stuff into modern gaming stuff with this. I mean, that's a fun idea.
Yeah, there's the eyeballs on the inanimate objects.
It's basically rare character gets stuck in a PlayStation library.
Pretty much.
That's a cool... I'm very willing to give this a chance.
No, me too. Yeah, I'm not writing it off at all. But I thought people were maybe losing it a little bit.
This thing could be amazing, and it could be one of the worst things you play all year. I feel like this is a... And he becomes a real person. There's a lot of potential here.
Yeah.
There's huge potential here. But we're going to have to...
It could also be a disaster.
You're not going to know till we get our hands on it. Really.
Yeah. Yep. Next up, a game called For Loop. It is a roguelite take on the Left 4 Dead subgenre from the person who created Left 4 Dead. So Mike Booth, who was the guy who came up with the concept for Left 4 Dead, is handling this game. It's being developed with Bad Robot Games, which I think seems to be like Bad Robot's getting off on a pretty good foot as far as being a publisher in a game company. When I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know.
We've seen how these Left 4 Dead alikes perform in the past. And
yeah, it may not do
well. It could scare Abrams off of games for good.
That's true. But this is also a roguelite take on it where you die over and over, which how is that different from just dying over and over while playing Left 4 Dead?
Well, theoretically, you would upgrade things permanently in the process.
How does it work if you're playing cooperatively with somebody else?
I don't know.
That's my question.
You just got better guns?
Yeah, so I'm wondering if you play with bots and not other humans?
No, you play with other people. It's four players. That's what it's called, four.
If you die and everybody else doesn't die, how does that work with the roguelite stuff?
Well, you probably just pick something.
You get the upgrade and everybody else doesn't, I guess.
I'm sure the upgrades are character-specific or player-specific, at least.
I'm interested to see how they do it. Because this is one game and one genre where you're like, I don't really know how they would do a roguelite with something like that. A lot of the other ones are kind of obvious.
I think it does seem kind of obvious. But, I mean, I think you're just getting... there's probably upgrades that can permanently upgrade the character for multiple forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably upgrades that only apply to whatever game session you're in.
Yeah.
I imagine, like, over time, you get to upgrade the character in a permanent way, sort of like Battlefield or Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're probably picking up specific bonuses based on your performance or whatever happens in the game itself that don't carry over to your next future games.
Okay.
So that would be kind of how I'd guess. I guess you would match make the players based on where they are level wise as like kind of the overall character mm-hmm. levels. And then you would have your progression kind of in the game, the individual game would sort of be like buying or earning like bonuses from performance.
Mm.
And so like everybody would become a little more asymmetrical based on like what's happening in the game and what they choose to upgrade there temporarily, but like everybody would be match made sort of so you wouldn't have like a level 1 or a level 50.
I see.
Because it wouldn't like really matter really because it's co-op, but you don't want one person doing everything while no one else can plink anything.
Which is kind of what happens in those games
anyway. It is what happens sometimes, yeah. My guess is that there's going to be like overall progression, but that's going to be a matchmaking thing, and then like once you're in there, you're going to be able to like do like basically like Call of Duty Zombies style upgrades that would be like just for that match.
Okay.
Or for that campaign or whatever. Because it sounds, if it's Left 4 Dead, I assume you can, if you want, go through the whole game as like a continuous campaign with the same group.
You would hope.
You know?
Yeah, I hope so. Next up, a game called No Law. I know right now that Sony is in a lawsuit over a game that looks very similar to Horizon Forbidden West. And this game looks a whole hell of a lot like Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, but luckily Cyberpunk 2077 looks a lot like every other Cyberpunk thing ever made.
Yeah.
So therefore, also, this is the people who made The Ascent.
Yeah, I know.
And they've already made an amazing Cyberpunk world, but now we just get to stand in it instead of looking down on it.
That's true.
I don't think this didn't look amazing as a game wise and character wise, but because it's the people who made The Ascent, which I think might be the greatest realization of a Cyberpunk world in a video game. Like, it just, there's so much to it, and there's so much, I mean, you don't get to see everything, like, firsthand, like, in Cyberpunk 2077, but if you just play The Ascent, and, like, look at all the detail they put into this world, like, I am continually impressed every time I load that game up, and I do still load that game up from time to time. It's a great twin-stick shooter.
Yeah.
Like, action RPG twin-stick shooter. I'm in on this, just to see the world.
Shots in this trailer, I could have put them in a trailer for Cyberpunk 2077, and you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
They're that similar, but I hear you.
Because like, it's cyberpunk.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing too is that like we just don't get that much, and I don't believe enough cyberpunk games.
Not like pure cyberpunk. Yeah. I mean, in terms, and also like it does look like you are actually you get the punk part right in this one. Because cyberpunk, like, and I mean, Cyberpunk 2077 gets the right thing right too. It's like the whole world isn't a giant city.
Mm-hmm.
The people have to live here.
Yeah,
and like this team and Cyberpunk 2077 do remember that there has to be places where people can live.
Yeah.
And I think those two, you know, The Ascent does remember that. Cyberpunk remembers that. This looks like that remembers that. Like, it can't just be, like, one note. Like, the fact that you can drive out into the desert and into the kind of the countryside and, essentially the suburbs in Cyberpunk 2077 is very important to why the setting works in that game.
Yeah. This is coming in 2027, I think.
I think that's right. Yeah.
It's coming from Krafton and Neon Giant. And
yeah, Neon Giant made The Ascent.
Yep.
If you haven't played The Ascent, I would say check it out, especially if it's cheap, like in one of the holiday sales. It's pretty challenging. It's an action RPG twin stick shooter, cyberpunk game where you're just like running around a cyberpunk city, blowing shit up. And like really like the detail and the love and care put into crafting the environments and the world just blew me away. It's actually not a great game. it's pretty good,
it's
but
about
it's not
the
amazing
cyberpunk stuff.
But it's all about, if you want to see maybe one of the best realized cyberpunk designs in gaming, mm-hmm. play The Ascent.
Okay. Next up, a game called Ontos. It is the spiritual successor to Soma. So it's a first-person mm-hmm. horror thriller-ish style game. Were you a fan of Soma, Matt?
Yeah, I liked Soma.
Did you? Mm-hmm. I actually was kind of disappointed in Soma. I didn't play it until
I don't think
late,
it lives
and
up.
People had built it up.
No, I was going to say, I don't think it lives up to the hype that people have built it up into being. But in terms
it's
of sort
good.
Of... I'm pretty good at separating hype from my own mm-hmm. like expectations. I mean, we don't get a lot of really good quality like sci-fi horror stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought they did it very well.
Yep, this one is set on the moon.
It is not as good as the internet would have you believe.
Yeah,
but it is good.
Yeah,
I'm happy to play another game by them in the same vein.
This trailer is also unsettling.
Yeah,
not to the level of Divinity, but definitely.
No, I found this more unsettling than
really.
I would say this more. All the mice and the traps, the being basically the circuit breakers for the gate, gateways for the computer. Like that's a disturbing image. Like
it really is. Yeah,
because I'm not too worried about hell opening up and sucking people's. But I do think there might be someone crazy enough to do that.
You're right. Not much information about this out there yet. It's coming next year, but that's about it. I think the platforms, PC, PS5, Xbox Series, again, another game that's announced that it doesn't have a Switch 2 version. It looks like this game could run on Switch 2.
I would think so.
It looks that way. We'll see, though. And then we're coming down to it here. We're almost to the end of all of the reveals from the Game Awards. Next up, a game called Warlock Dungeons & Dragons. Not an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually just an action adventure. You know more about D&D than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this sort of place in the universe?
Oh, this definitely looks like Ravenloft.
Okay.
Which is a horror plane of the D&D multiverse that's basically horror themed. If you've ever heard of the campaign Curse of Strahd, that's the most famous thing set there. Strahd is a vampire who is essentially the D&D equivalent of Dracula. Ravenloft is a very popular kind of gothic horror Bloodborne-esque setting that D&D's had. I mean, it goes back to the 80s. And having Trisha Helfer play a warlock in the Ravenloft world is a very, very good idea. So it looks like this is a long way out.
But
I'm super on board for this.
Coming from Invoke Studios, which is starting to develop a little bit of a reputation for being pretty good. So... and that is coming in 2027, so there's still a good wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just very quickly, Gang of Dragon, the new game from former Yakuza developers. This game looks like a Yakuza game.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was at first. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, this is he left the thing.
Yeah, this is from the new studio, Negoshi Studio. But it's made pretty much all of former Yakuza devs.
Yeah.
We just defected, and we're like, we're going to make our own
make
our own money.
We're going to make our own Yakuza games with hookers and but wait, we already had that.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the very end, he walks out of the gate from Kabukicho, which is the district. Yeah, so he's in the real district that the Yakuza district Kamurocho is based on, doesn't directly reference. So now they're no longer playing coy with the setting, I guess.
Yeah.
And I like this actor. Is it Don
Lee? I'm sure people have recognized
him. Oh, instantly recognize him, for sure.
He's a
great choice.
He is, so. Yeah. This is coming... They didn't announce anything about this.
In fact, this
trailer is even online. Like, you have to use... You can see. I had to use the Game Awards version on the Game Awards YouTube channel. They haven't even published... They don't have a YouTube channel yet. Negoshi Studio. They have nothing. And then lastly...
Well, I'm in whenever they want to do it.
Yeah. I'm not surprised to hear that. And then lastly, Forest 3. This is a spiritual successor to Sons of the Forest, which is like a survival game. This looks a little more sci-fi than Sons of the Forest.
I was a little surprised to see that title pop up at the end of it, for sure.
But this game looks crazy, too. Like, I'm going to just fast forward past some of this stuff here so you can see, like, what the game looks like. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. It's It looks pretty intense.
Yeah. I mean, you let me explore a weird planet, and I'm probably in.
And what, that weird thing that you have to catch?
Yeah, your little grabber arm. Yeah.
I mean,
in reality, if we were exploring other planets, we probably would have enhancements like that.
I would be grabbing it with my bare hand. That's absolutely for damn not. Sure. So anyway, that
not
is...
like that dumbass in Prometheus.
Yeah, yeah. And that is Forest 3. It's coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series from Ennight, but no release date for that yet.
No.
So we'll see. But there you go. Those are all the big reveals.
You skipped
from...
one, in my opinion.
Which one?
Orbitals.
Really? You were...
Orbitals is going to be a big deal.
You think?
I do.
I thought that looked horrible.
Looks great.
That looked like payola to me.
Looks great.
What makes you say that?
One, it's the first game that's doing what Split Fiction and It Takes Two were doing. It's a design co-op game.
It looked like the worst interpretation of that, though.
No, it's good. You watch and see.
Really?
You watch and see.
I literally laughed at that game. That looked like blatant payola to me.
Nope.
It looked completely out of class with the rest of the
game. That's not what payola means.
Payola means paying to get your game in the show. It didn't earn its way.
Oh, I thought you meant like payola as in like trash game to cash in on trend.
No, payola. I mean, and they gave Jeff money to be in the show.
I mean, everybody gave Jeff money to be in the show.
I think some wouldn't have made it in the show without the money. And I think that's one of them.
Not for 1 second.
Really?
I've seen
you're the only person I've
heard. No, you're not paying attention then because that game got huge buzz.
What?
Yeah. From all the old school anime people. If you love Leiji Matsumoto and Starblade, that's all referencing all that shit.
That game looks like ass.
That game looks great.
I mean, it may look great. It looks like it's a shitty game.
It really doesn't.
Really?
Wait and see.
It looks so janky and awful.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway,
wait and see.
That one, you definitely threw me a curveball on that one, because I literally thought that looked horrible.
Orbitals looks good. It doesn't look as good. Well, I don't think it doesn't look as good because I switched to exclusive. I think the art style works for it.
I mean, it looks like an 80s anime. If you like 80s anime, you like the look of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying the game, it looks like it's going to be a shitty game to play.
I'm not talking
about the graphics.
I don't see that.
Look at the game. Anyway, we can't dwell on it. I thought it looked freaking awful. I was like, why does this do it in the show?
That's going to be one of the biggest hits out of that show. It was shown this past night.
No way.
It's going to be
That will be like the 30th best-selling game of that was in that show.
Watch in awe.
Really?
Yep.
That's insane to me. All right. So there you go. That's our recap of the Game Awards 2025. Want to give a letter grade for it?
For like the whole thing all
together?
Yeah,
for the whole shebang.
I'll give that probably like a B+.
Yeah. I might even give it an A-. I struggle to figure out how it could be improved drastically. I can see little tweaks that can make it better, but I...
Well, for one thing, don't have that stupid shooter be the one more thing.
Yeah.
That was one of the big...
We actually did skip High Guard because I didn't put it in there because High Guard was what finished the show, and it's this hero shooter that obviously was just paid to be in there. Mm-hmm. Like, he tried to say, like, after you watch this, you're going to want to play it, and I was like,
incorrect.
No, not really.
In fact, I'm very sure I do not want to play
it.
It looked like every other Concord.
Yeah,
it did. Concord with, like, someone who had, like, a Norse mythology fetish, basically.
And
I know it's like ex-respawn people.
That was the other payola game that I thought was
I mean, the whole fucking show is a commercial. Jeff even said before the show, he's like, well, the problem with like adding more awards categories is that I'm giving up like $100,000 every time we don't run a trailer.
More than that.
Because the whole thing is ad buys.
Yeah. But again, I think some games would be in the show regardless, and some games are only in
I assure you he still charged the Divinity guys
money
to run that trailer.
Oh, between that and the statue out in the desert and all that, they paid a lot of money.
Yeah, nobody gets in for free. No.
Yeah. I'd agree, B+, A-. I thought it was a pretty good Game Awards, maybe the best one ever. And I do think they'll struggle to make it better next year. Mm-hmm. I think we'll see. Because
well, it's going to kind of depend on
the template now.
What comes out.
Yeah, that does matter. It obviously matters.
It helps that they didn't really have a very contentious set of awards.
It does.
Like the fact that Clair Obscur was able to just sail through the thing.
And people were like, okay.
I was like, okay, I like that. Yeah. It was a good game. Yeah. I'm cool. Like, it was just kind of very non-controversial in that regard. So you didn't have people screaming about how they hated Astrobot because they're not Sony fans or they didn't like this or that because they don't like Nintendo.
It's multi-platform.
It was just like, there was, yeah.
Yeah. It always works that great.
Unless you hate French people, there was really not much to say against
You're
it.
You're right. Yep. All right, well, there you go. It's time to move on, and we are about to crown the champions of both the Sifted Video Game Fantasy League and the Sifted Fantasy Challenge, which is what you guys have all played in. So, Matt, did you actually do the math? Do you know what the final score is for us?
I mean, I think I did.
Yeah.
I imagine,
because it's insane.
I imagine you calculated it more precisely than I did, because I basically wait until like 4 weeks after a game comes out. I look at the Metacritic score and kind of guess at the it's like an 81. So I just, and then I add them all up and see where we are.
Yeah.
But by my estimation, and I actually haven't done that with Metroid Prime 4 because I figured we were going to do this and I might as well not.
Wait for the surprise.
Yeah. But my guess is we are within like 5 points of each other.
We are. We're closer than that, Matt Kyle. It is unfreaking real how close we are. So 10 different games. You used an alternate. I did not use an alternate. And it all came down to 2/10. Wow. 2/10 after all of it. And the winner is me.
Wow.
Oh my god, dude. I had 822 points. You had 820.
That is the same calculation. My calculation for myself was 820. So
yeah,
that was right.
So Metroid Prime 4 went down 2 points.
Yeah,
since
I told you it was going to go down.
Yep,
yeah.
So it went from an 8.1 to a 7.9. If I had done this in February, it may have been a tie.
Yeah.
I went and looked at, I should also add, I did go and look at the Metroid Prime 4 reviews. And there are lots of websites that gave that game a 1.
A 1?
A 1. Like, there's definitely a bunch of fanboy bullshit going on.
I saw a thread on Reset Era. It was called something like, so what can be done to fix Metroid Prime 4? Can it be saved? I'm like, what
blurb,
are you talking
one
about?
One blurb from the review was like, I struggle to even call this a game, let alone a Metroid game.
What?
I'm like, so there's definitely a bunch of
like,
fanboy crap
the game,
going
but on. What are you fucking talking about? What is it?
They're just trying to murder a Switch exclusive. They're PlayStation fan, a PlayStation website. This is insane, man.
You have a finite lifespan on this planet, people. Don't,
I know.
Come on.
Don't waste it. I am going to give myself a round of applause, Matt, because I have now won 4 in a row and 5 of the last 6 Sifted Fantasy Leagues. So I am on a freaking tear. 4 in a row, 5 of the last 6. And this one is the closest ever.
You won this one in the 18th inning.
Seriously. It's insane, dude. 2 points.
Just picking 12 games each to end up within 2. That's pretty crazy.
I mean, it's also, we're both getting really good at this. Like,
yeah.
We've really kind of figured it out now. We've been doing it for, like, this is the 11th season.
If GTA
the 10th that you've been doing
it. If GTA 6 had come out, I would have won.
You would have. Yeah, you absolutely would have. Yeah, for sure. Yep, no doubt about it.
And that's something that Mr. First Pick over here has to keep in mind.
Now I'm going to be the one to get burned this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I waited how many years for Metroid Prime 4 and I got a 79 out of it.
Look how fucking nuts it was that my second highest game is my last pick.
I mean, this made me realize what this year was more than anything. Looking at these scores,
yeah.
I was like, there are no amazing games.
No.
There's great games. There's no incredible games this entire year. So,
yeah.
To me, I was saying earlier.
And look
about
how crazy that Monster Hunter Wild score looks now,
yeah.
Considering how everybody reacted to it.
Yeah. But the review score has not come down over all this time for whatever reason.
Yeah, just 290s across
Hollow Knight,
both of us.
Split Fiction. Yeah. Death Stranding 2 almost got there, but didn't. Lots of 70s. We hardly ever had this
many
70s.
And, of course, you know, we don't have Clair Obscure on here because
no one really
saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, good game, Matt.
Yeah.
Another awesome year of our Fantasy League. And now it's time to reveal who among you has won the Sifted Fantasy Challenge for 2025. And that person is
Vincent,
yes, but the actual winner, because Vincent works with us, he can't be the winner. The actual winner is With Sword and Gun. Congratulations for winning the Sifted Fantasy Challenge. You, by the way, have been one of our patrons and one of our supporters, a paying supporter, since 2015. Mm. So With Sword and Gun, I gladly award you 2 games of your choice as the winner of the Sifted Fantasy Challenge for 2025. Congratulations. Here's another round of applause. Vincent, by the way, amazing job, Vincent. Look at your score. You beat everybody by like 30 points.
Yeah.
I finished at 22nd. Matt, I think you finished like 44th. I did the math, and if Grand Theft Auto 6 had come out, I would have finished 5th. But you can see there's 4 people ahead of me that also had GTA 6. That they didn't win because of that either. So Amazing job with Sword and Gun. Amazing job, Vincent, man. Here's a round of applause for you. In fact, I'll get in touch with you, and maybe I can send you a little something-something as a reward for winning, because that's hard, man. It really is hard. So anyway, congratulations with Sword and Gun. Reach out to me. I won't be able to get you your games until I come back from the holidays, so the first couple weeks of January, I'll reach out to you, and I'll start figuring it out. I hope you live in America, because, man, trying to give games to people who don't live in America is so hard and such a pain in the butt. So I hope with Sword and Gun you do live in America. It'll make everything much easier. But if not, it's okay. We'll figure it all out. So congratulations with Sword and Gun. Ashes in the Hourglass, 1 point behind.
Wow.
One stinking point. So congrats to you, Ashes in the Hourglass. You did a great job too, man. Vincent says Blueprints wasn't in the system until late for some reason. Interesting. Okay. Well, next year is going to be even more interesting, because are people going to go for GTA 6? Are they going to believe it's coming out when its release date is the end of the year?
Look at these people getting let down by Judas.
I know. Yeah. I mean, some people just swing for the fences. That's what I do. Like, I was just like, I'm not going to think about anything. I'm just going to try to pick the games that I think are going to score the highest. And Civ 7 burned me pretty bad. It didn't score as high as I thought. But otherwise, most of the games that I picked did pretty well. So, once again, congratulations to With Sword and Gun and Vincent and Ashes in the Hourglass. You were just 1 point behind. Great job by everybody. Thanks for playing, everyone. I hope you guys had fun checking in on it every once in a while throughout the year, hoping that you could swing it and get the victory. We'll start talking about the Sit to Fantasy Challenge for 2026 early next year. Vincent says, spoiler, I'm probably not going to pick GTA 6 again. Might be a good call. Okay, well, we have come to the end of this shortened episode.
Shortened.
Of game. I mean, I think it is really shorter. Yeah.
2 hours.
Yeah. It's shorter.
It's two-thirds.
Not as shorter as I wanted it to be. I'll just put it to you that way. Which means that we have just one thing left to do for one last time in 2025. That's right. It's time for Name That Game Tune, brought to you by SoundWizardry.com, the absolute wizards in audio, game audio, film audio, TV show, podcast. No matter what you got, no matter what audio you're working on, they can make it better. I promise you, if you're working on a game right now and your sound team's kind of meh, don't settle for that. Call SoundWizardry.com. I guarantee you it is going to be an upgrade. The work that they do is going to be an upgrade, and the attitude that they have is going to be an upgrade. In fact, they are so awesome that they sponsor this cool game that we play, where we play a bunch of sounds from video games, and you try to guess the name of the game before this guy right here. A couple things before we get going, and these rules are going to change for next year, so stay tuned. But this is the last time I'll have to say this. Do not play if you've already won this year. You can only win once per calendar year. That's obviously about to turn over with January. Do not spam the chat, because it goes into slow mode, and you can only input the chat once every 60 seconds. And then finally, if you don't play PC games, please don't play, because if you win, you will win a free PC game, and we want to make sure that it goes to a good home. So that's it, and we're ready to rock with the final Name That Game Tune of 2025. Let me get your headphones turned up, Matt, so you can hear okay. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me get the interface up so we're ready to play. And sorry, YouTube folks. You need to jump over to Twitch if you want to play the game. And here we go. Let's play Name That Game Tune. Here's the first sample in 3, 2, 1.
Missile Command.
No. Not Missile Command. Liberal Hack, thank you for Twitch Prime, brother. Metroid, no. Galaga, no. Contra 4, no. I don't know how many people we have playing, because we're doing our stream at such a different time. We may not have a winner. Yar's Revenge, no. Gal's Panic, no. River Raid, no. Any other guesses? Hardcore Uprising, no. Duke Nukem 3D, no. Mag from Zipper, no. Defender, no. Oh, The Legacy donated $10. Pour one out for Itagaki, Rob, and Michelle. Thank you, The Legacy. I will. I will absolutely drink a beer for Itagaki-san in your name. I will. Eric Cartman's War of the Gems, no. Any last guesses before we move on to the second one? Going once. Going twice. Sold. Here's the second sample in 3, 2, 1. Not Rampage, not Dig Dug. Any more guesses from that second one?
F-099.
Nope. Not F-099. That's a good guess, though. Now that I think about it. Any other guesses besides Rampage and Dig Dug from that second one? Maybe that should have been the first one instead of the second one. Because my hope is that like the first one gets the least amount of guesses and they get more as it goes. Any last guesses besides those two before we go to the third one? Going once. Going twice. That did not ring any bells. All right, here's the third sample in 3, 2, 1. Any guesses from that one? Space Harrier, no. Wow, I'm stumping these people. R-Type, no. Not even any guesses. Capcom game, that one. Mega Man X, nope.
Mischief Makers.
No, nope. It's not it. Smash TV, no. But I can see where you got Mischief Makers, because the sound of the gems, the twinkling sound. Yep. Zool, no, that is not it. JJ Force Breaker. All right, any last guesses? Going once. Going twice. Sold again. Here we go to the fourth one. Are we going to make it through one of the last name that game without you guys guessing it? We'll see. Here it is in 3, 2, 1. David over on YouTube says Asteroid Blaster. He's wrong, but... Kirby Superstar, no. Gradius, no. Star Fox, no. Mini games from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, no. Ikari Warriors, no. I like that one, Solo. That's a great game. Custer's Revenge, nope. Michael Jackson's Crazy Sega game, nope. Nights into Dreams, no. Operation Wolf, no. Ooh, it looks like we're going to make it to the last one. Raiden 3. Nope. Never played it, but why not? any last guesses before we go to the last one? Going once. Mystical Ninja, no. You have to clarify which Mystical Ninja it was, but I'll tell you right now, it's none of them. Any last guesses before we go to the fifth one? Going once. Going twice. All right, here we go to the last sample. Someone's got to win the last one. Come on. Here it is in 3, 2, 1.
Fantasy Zone.
No.
Fantasy Zone 2.
No. Kid Chameleon, no. Street Fighter 2, no.
Gradius 3.
No. Brave Fencer Musashi, no.
Sounds like every shmup I've ever played.
Spy Hunter, no. Darius game, no.
Ikaruga.
Not Ikaruga. Lords of Thunder, no.
Lords of Thunder's a good one.
Can somebody find it in the recesses of their mind? It doesn't look like it. Going once. Going twice. Ugh. We have no winner for the last Name That Game tune of 2025. No winner. Operation Thunderbolt, no. R-Type, no. Xerxes, no. Two people guessed R-Type. Any last guesses?
Gyarus.
No. Lots of R-Types, but nope. All right, that's it. I'm calling it. It was... Gunstar Heroes.
Mm.
Yep, you guys were all close, but not close enough, unfortunately.
And I played that game a lot.
Yep.
I'm surprised I didn't. I guess the sound in that is not super
memorable.
Memorable.
Yeah, I mean, the other part of it, too, is that, like, it only had, like, six sounds. Like, I usually download, like, a big chunk of gameplay, and I look at the sound wave, and I look for the little separated sounds or whatever. This game only had, like, five different ones.
Yeah, the treasure games back in the day were very music-oriented.
Yeah.
So you didn't have, the sound effects were not that. That exploded, that first one, I thought that was an Atari 2600 sound.
Yeah, yeah, it sounded like
so low res.
It did, yeah. But yeah, anyway, it was Gunstar Heroes. So unfortunately, nobody won the last name that game tune.
If you haven't played that, you should.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. Well,
you even play a board game in the middle of it, like throwing a giant die around. So it's really good.
Yeah.
A lot of fun couch co-op.
Well, that's going to do it for Game Phase 463 and also Game Phase for 2025. This is the last episode of the year. Again, we're probably coming back on January 6th, but follow us on Twitter and on Blue Sky to get the deets on that as the holiday season rolls on. Again, just a big thanks to everybody who has supported us in any way this year. Thank you so much. If you'd like to help us out here at the end, you want to buy us a beer, or you just don't want to deal with subscription services on Patreon or YouTube, just go to donate.sifted.net, S-I-F-T-D. You can put any amount in there. You can pay with any credit card or PayPal in over 100 countries. And I mean, I'm just telling you, this last week, man, like, you guys have just been so generous with this. I just thank you. It's just awesome. And it also shows, too, that a lot of people just don't want to get mixed up with subscription services anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people are basically sending me what they would have paid if they were in our Patreon for the whole year. So right. I can see people are like, I want to give you that money. I just don't want Patreon to take any of it. And this is a great way to help us out without anybody else taking a cut. So again, donate.sifted.net. Or if you want to support us in the new year on the long term, go to patreon.com/sifted. Again, that's S-I-F-T-D. If you don't have money, but you have an Amazon Prime subscription, you can help us out with Twitch Prime. We talk about it on the show all the time. Go down below if you're watching on YouTube for step-by-step instructions on how to do that. And if you don't have that, you can still help us. Just like the show, comment on the show, share the show, review the show on podcast services. All that stuff helps us. We'd really appreciate it. So just a note to people who are watching our stream right now here on Twitch and YouTube. We are going to break down for literally like 3 minutes, and we're going to come right back up. So just stay on our stream, and the stream will come right back up. But to everybody else who's watching the archive of this, thanks again for a great 2025. We appreciate you guys so much. Don't forget to have an awesome week filled with awesome games and an awesome holiday season filled with awesome games. Game Face is up and out.